Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to PTI. Wilbon and I are in Miami for Super Bowl week, but on today's show, we're going to focus on the life and career of Kobe Bryant. We've had a full day to think about this. Wilbon, you were close to him. You knew him better than most. How would you describe the Kobe Bryant that you knew?
Tony, I'm going to start with terms, I guess, that are sort of outside basketball. Really smart. Really curious and engaging and ruthlessly competitive. And that was not exclusively to basketball.
Yeah.
Ambitious. I mean, I'm not talking about ambitious from 20 to 40. I mean, ambitious beyond that already. I remember you thought that, too, because you said he wants to be Walt Disney. You weren't far off with that assessment, by the way, and he loved that. And he was just somebody who was, and I know I'm choosing words carefully here, full of life.
Yeah.
And I think everybody perceived that, if you were around him or not, if you watched him on television, if you were from afar, you still sensed that. And all of those things and many, many, many more went to making up this complex, fascinating man.
Yeah, so I didn't know him the way you did. I knew him only in a basketball gym. I knew him if I was reporting on a game or writing a column or something like that. And what I remember most about him was that he would sort of wait until the locker room thinned out. And then he'd give you a sign. And then you'd go over to Kobe, and then Kobe would trash three or four of his own teammates. And I loved that about him. I loved that he would do that. You use the word ruthless. He was a ruthless competitor. He would hit you on the way up. He would hit you on the way down. He would take every advantage he could, and I thought he worked tirelessly to get better at basketball.
He was proud of that.
Always did.
I want to tell you a story. I have never talked about this before, but you know how the comparison with Michael Jordan was so ever present.
Yeah.
And people think that Kobe somehow resented it. He played with it. So after games, knowing I had covered Michael Jordan's career, knowing I was one of those people who said, no one, not even you, Kobe, will ever reach Jordan.
Right.
There were some games in which Kobe would score 42 points and have 15 rebounds, and he was just unbelievably brilliant. And on the way in the locker room, the reporters are lined up, as you know, and I get an elbow or a shoulder, and I get this. How would your boy have done tonight?
Yeah.
Would your boy have done better than that?
So,
and it was playful. It was completely playful and respectful, but it spoke to how he knew everything that was going on.
I want to make that same comparison. I would not compare him to LeBron, and I would not compare him to Magic, and I think they're great, great players. I'll compare him directly to Jordan in this regard. He understood the moment when it happened clearly, as well as anybody ever understood it. And I believe that just like Michael Jordan, they believe this. Yeah, I can go 1-on-5. Yeah, I don't need any teammates. They didn't care about teammates as much as some of the other guys cared about teammates, because basketball for them was their venue. And they were indomitable on a basketball court. That's what I thought.
On a basketball court.
That's what I thought.
I did as well.
Kobe Bryant played all 20 years as a Laker. He was an all-star. He was a champion. There's no one in Los Angeles sports who was more revered than Kobe. And that is a city with real stars like Magic, like Kareem, Koufax, Gretzky. Wilbon, you spent so much time in Los Angeles. What did Kobe mean there?
Everything. You gave a short list.
Yeah.
That's the pantheon.
Yeah.
All right? And they were all in their time beloved, all of them. And in my time going out there, which is now 40 years, as you mentioned, I'm spending a whole lot of time in Southern California. The only person that came ahead of him and now not was, I think, Magic. Gretzky did an unbelievable thing in a short period of time, introducing hockey and fanaticism over it to Southern California. And Koufax had that brilliant but also short career.
Short.
Kobe's career was so long there, and he devoted himself to them. I mean, he's from Philly. He's a Philly kid. And in private conversation, we all knew that. But to Los Angelinos, he was theirs. And he gave themselves over to them. And I tell you something else. Like Jordan, I'm going to go back to the comparison. Every time you went to see him, whether it was the Forum at first or Staples, it was a performance. It was like theater. And you knew what you were getting. And people, look, where else is a great show appreciated more than Southern California, more than L.A., more than Hollywood? It isn't. And I just think now he's been at the top of that adoration in Southern California for longer than anybody.
So I called our mutual friend David Israel today, who went out to California 40, 45 years ago and follows sports intently. And he said to me, not even Magic. No, Kobe is above everybody in Los Angeles. Any sport you can name, Kobe is above them. I grew up near New York City, and I have a deep respect for what it means to be a star in a real big city. And the two real big cities to me, and no offense to Chicago, the two real big cities to me are New York and Los Angeles. And I thought, it's not the talent. The talent is a given. It's do you embrace it? Do you embrace it? Can you be the star? Joe Namath was a star. Derek Jeter was a star and understood this. Kobe Bryant understood, as did Magic Johnson, understood what it meant. You know, people talk about the Dallas Cowboys being the quarterback there. This is on a higher level.
It is.
This is on a higher level in a big city like that, and he got it.
Anybody in those other cities have two numbers retired in a building? I don't think so.
No.
Tony, for the last 5 years, while Kobe was fading, albeit gloriously, into retirement, everybody who cares about basketball reduced conversation about the GOAT to Michael Jordan and LeBron James. That left out Russell, Magic, Kareem, and Kobe. Five championships and as many highlights as any player ever, yet he wasn't included at the very, very, very top of the pyramid. So, Tony, what is Kobe Bryant's place in the history of the game?
So this is hard for me and hard for you because I've seen more than you. I've seen the entire NBA, the whole history of the NBA, basically. So for me, the names that pop out immediately are always Wilt and Russell and Kareem, but basketball's not played that way anymore. The center is not as important a position anymore. So maybe I have to sort of separate things into eras and let things go. For me, the very, very top, those, of course, Magic, whose game I revere, Michael Jordan. I put in Larry Bird because there's no Magic without Larry Bird. There's no Larry Bird without Magic Johnson. I think they're inextricable. I think they go together. And but I have Kobe in one of the 5 to 10 best players of all time. And I have him standing sort of shoulder to shoulder with LeBron because he's got five championships. He's got some with Shaq. He's got some without Shaq. His trips to the finals, he made more of them in terms of winning championships. And it may be that when it's over, LeBron will be higher. But for me right now, they're sort of shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, you know, I've had this thing now where I've said, you know, my Mount Rushmore is Russell, Magic, Michael, and LeBron chronologically in order. And I have felt guilty over the past year and a half or so, because I don't have Kareem and Kobe. And maybe most importantly, Kobe, who was, if we consider, and I do usually, Michael Jordan, the greatest player in history. You know, I can be convinced on some days it's Magic, and I know you believe it's Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
Kobe's the closest thing we've seen to Michael Jordan. And so his place is so close to the top. If we get into this exercise of historically, where are you? And part of me feels, I don't know, a little shame in doing that today. But that's the discussion that rages across the world about our basketball players.
There are players that we can all name who are great players who are not on this list. And yes. I wrote them down. I'm not even going to bother naming them. But I'll say this about Kobe Bryant. Like Michael Jordan, there were times when you watched him play when you said, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen in basketball. It wasn't about passing to somebody, which other people did.
Which usually finished.
It was a takeover in a different way.
It was. Tony, there seems to be some disagreement, even if polite, as to whether the NBA should have played games yesterday, tonight, even tomorrow. But there's been no signal from the NBA for canceling or postponing anything. Instead, the games have been played with brilliant and emotional tributes like letting the 24-second clock run out or committing an 8-second backcourt violation. Tony, what do you think of the fact that basketball continues to be played?
I think it's the right decision. Kobe Bryant was a basketball player. I've watched a lot of players say things like, if this had happened to someone else, Kobe would have said, let's play. And that it happened to Kobe, they all said Kobe would have wanted us to play. This is the National Basketball Association. This is what happens. The tributes that you mentioned, the 24-second and the 8-second, those are his two numbers. Those are so inventive to me. I actually had no idea. I would have stood and had a moment of silence. I wouldn't have done this. And they are, maybe it's an awkward word to use now, but they're charming in the way that they did that.
I agree. Clever and heartfelt at the same time. I thought they were, Tony, and everybody just seemed to strike, which is rare these days, the appropriate note. But what was most appropriate, I think, and this is all individual feeling, I just felt that if Kobe could comment on this, it would be, yeah, let's play two,
yeah,
to steal one from Ernie Banks. That this, yeah, is just, yeah, the spirit in which he lived his life, yeah, and playing
player,
and playing and playing and playing, just, and playing. This is what he loved.
Not just a basketball player, but someone who in his downtime played basketball, yeah, worked on everything he could about basketball. I don't want to sound mawkish here. And I understand why we focus on Kobe Bryant. I understand that loss. But there are other people involved in this, families that are going to be torn apart,
yes,
for years and years and years. And you don't want, you know, you don't want to just make this about Kobe Bryant, though you have to.
No, because, and we're going to find out about this in the coming days, all of them made their own contributions. I'm sure some of those contributions huge in their own ways, in their own communities.
Yeah.
And they were all friends. They were all close, which is why they were there in this circumstance.
And I'm going to assume at the All-Star game that Kobe,
yes,
Bryant will be just a major
have to
part
be.
Of that. We're going to take a break, but we will return in a moment for a conversation with someone else who knew Kobe well and covered him for years. Welcome back to PTI as we discuss the career and life of Kobe Bryant. Joining us now is a man who knew Kobe well, covering him for years for Los Angeles Times and ESPN, our good friend, Wilbon's college mate, J.A. Adonde. Jay, what was Kobe like when he joined the Lakers compared to who he was when he retired?
He was this young, buoyant teenager, right? We forget how young he was when he started off, and excited and bubbly, and everything was fun and new for him. But he was also determined. You could see early on that he had his sights set not just on being a player, on making the league, on being one of the all-time greats, and he was not going to allow anything to deter him from that. And by the end, you know, he was more friendly, and he welcomed you. There was a stage in the middle as he, you know, had the acclaim and won championships and had status in this league, and all of a sudden didn't necessarily need everybody to get what he wanted. It was a little more difficult then, and you kind of missed the young, carefree guy. But by the end, he was an older, wiser, somewhat grumpy old man, but also he was much more inclusive at the end. And that's actually my favorite version. Even though he was nowhere near the same player, he was much more enjoyable because he had perspective to offer and was great at distributing those words of wisdom.
Jay, as a guy who parachuted in from out of town like I did to talk to Kobe, that was pretty easy. But for local guys, I have seen him be feisty and tough. He was always engaged. He didn't say, oh, I didn't see that, I didn't hear that. He told you he heard it and he saw it. I was around for a couple of long bouts between you and him in locker rooms at 11 o'clock at night. What was that like, particularly because you guys had that relationship,
right,
for decades?
Right, Mike. For the locals, it meant you were there for every day of the Kobe and Shaq feud, and it often meant taking sides. And it was a little easier to gravitate toward the Shaq side, particularly in the early 2000s. A, he was the MVP and at the peak of his powers at that time, and the offense should run through him, right? That was the big disagreement, was who should have the ball more. It should belong to Shaq at that point. And also, he was friendlier and would kind of take you in more than Kobe would at that time. So that created some distance, you know, that created sides, and you, one person was on this side, you were on that side, Kobe guy or Shaq guy. So that made it more difficult for those of us who had to be there every day. And also, we would battle back and forth. Mike, you were there one night. Kobe and I were going nose to nose in the middle of the locker room again about what else? Shot selection and volume of shots. And we kind of stayed at this detente. And it kind of changed after that point because I realized, you know what? If Phil Jackson couldn't change his mind about how to play basketball, I sure am not going to be able to change his mind. So at that point, I just gave up my hands and said, okay, Kobe, do it your way.
Smart
and I'll
approach,
just sit
Jay.
Here and enjoy it.
Smart resolution. Jay, I hated the phrase Mamba mentality, which I remember telling Kobe. But it wasn't just a marketing slogan. It existed a real mentality in which he expected people that he knew had a lot to give a lot all the time. Can you just talk about that and that approach that he took throughout his life?
Right. I wasn't a fan of that phrase or hashtag either. You don't get to give yourself a nickname and you don't get to give yourself a philosophy, right? But guess what? He did. How many references have you seen to the Mamba or the Black Mamba in the last 24, 48 hours? Like, he won in that regard, too. And he showed that Mamba mentality was a winning way. He would just wear you down. His willpower was so strong that he could force you maybe not to follow the Mamba mentality, but to at least accept the existence of the Mamba mentality. And that was his greatest asset, that willpower. And that's how he won again and again.
So Phil Jackson was his coach for championships, and Phil Jackson was Michael Jordan's coach for championships. And in his book, The Last Season, Phil described Kobe as uncoachable. How did you see their relationship?
It's amazing that they could continue forward after that point. But I give Kobe credit for that and mending a number of relationships, mending a relationship with Shaq, you know, to a lesser degree, mending our relationship after we didn't speak for a year and we wound up being on very good terms at the end. So you have to give credit the ability to compartmentalize and to leave things in the past. And even after Phil said that, the second go round, Kobe was saying things like, everything I do for him. You know, literally, they were able to forge such a tight bond. They were so close at the end. And in part because Phil was willing to accept, make a deal with Kobe. I got Phil to confirm this at the end of his days with the Lakers. He said, I'm not going to criticize you in the press anymore, and I need you to give me what I asked for. And they made that agreement, and they had a successful second run together, resulting in two more championships.
Let me go back a second. I understand why Phil and Kobe might not speak if Phil said that in a book. But you just said you didn't speak to Kobe for a year. What was that about?
Things were written, things were said, and you know, we just kind of went a year without talking. And then, again, to his credit, finally one day at training camp, media day, I said, Kobe, we've had some differences. Let's bury the hatchet. He said, done. We shook hands, and we were fine after that.
I want to go to something that's hard to talk about now, hard for me, given what we're in here. But Shaq and Kobe, I mean, that's not a chapter. That could be like a four-volume set. Why ultimately did the Lakers decide, okay, Kobe's going to stay, and we're going to trade Shaq, who had another championship left in him, Jay?
It was the timing, and this ultimately came down to Jerry Buss, right, the owner of the Lakers. And it was Kobe was younger. You know, Shaq was getting up there in years and getting up there in weight. And Kobe was more popular with the fans. You know, if the media gravitated towards Shaq, the fans certainly chose Kobe. He just resonated with them from the beginning. And, Tony, as you know, nobody roots for Goliath. And so right. Kobe just seemed more relatable. But Kobe always embodied that element of L.A. that nobody wants to talk about, the hardworking part. Yes, it's Hollywood, but stick around at the end of the movie. Look at all the credits that go into there. Think about how early people had to get up and get to the set at 4 or 5 in the morning, driving two-hour commutes. And that's the L.A., not the Hollywood, but L.A. that really gravitated toward Kobe Bryant. And he connected with that aspect. The people in the 300 level of Staples Center really worshiped Kobe and connected with that hardworking aspect. And that's one of the reasons he was chosen over Shaq.
Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Jay, for joining us.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to take one last break, but we'll return to discuss some of the ways those around the league and the world are marking the passing of Kobe Bryant. And we close the show with more about Kobe. We note the 71st birthday one day early of Greg Popovich. Popovich competed against Kobe Bryant for the length and breadth of Kobe's career. The two powers in the Western Conference were Kobe's Lakers and Popovich's Spurs. After his own game yesterday, Popovich said, quote, good game, tough loss, who cares? Then he paid tribute to Kobe by saying, quote, all of us knew what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and that's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win.
They came into the league together, Tony Popovich as a head coach of San Antonio and Kobe into the draft into the league in 1996. Each won five championships, and those attributes and attitudes that he described about Kobe, I'm sure some people could say apply to Pop as well.
Continuing on this theme, we note the anniversary 12 years ago today when LeBron James's Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Lakers 98-95. LeBron scored 41, Kobe scored 33. Just this weekend, LeBron passed Kobe for third place on the all-time scoring list. At that time, LeBron talked about how he idolized Kobe Bryant, told a story about being a high school student, driving to an NBA All-Star game to see Kobe, and Kobe gave LeBron a pair of shoes, which Kobe wore even though he was a size 15 and Kobe's shoes were 14s. And in this video, we see LeBron getting off the Laker plane yesterday, clearly grieving over the loss of his idol.
If people get a chance, they should watch that entire interview where LeBron talks in such great detail chronologically of just how Kobe Bryant impacted his life when he was a high school student. The whole thing was amazing.
And a happy trails to Nick Kyrgios. Normally, we are critical of Kyrgios for his terrible on-court behavior. But today, before taking the court against Rafael Nadal, a match he would lose, an emotional Kyrgios paid tribute to Kobe by walking onto the court wearing a number 8 Laker Kobe Bryant jersey. Kyrgios wasn't the only international star to pay tribute to Kobe. Soccer player Neymar, after scoring a goal yesterday in France, raised his hands with 2 fingers on one side and 4 on the other to mark the other of Kobe's Laker jerseys.
It's amazing, Tony, listening to athletes from other sports worldwide, how he impacted, how Kobe Bryant impacted them at a very young age.
One of the things that you learn from all of this is the tightness of the sports community on an international basis. They all appreciate the great stars in other sports and other countries, things like that. We're running out of shows, so we go to the big finish. The Clippers and Lakers are scheduled to play tomorrow night at the Staples Center. Do you think that will proceed as scheduled?
Tony, I know there's been talk on both sides of it. I hope it proceeds as scheduled. Tiger finished tied for 9th at Torrey, said afterward that one of the more impressive things he had ever witnessed was Kobe shooting free throws after tearing his Achilles. Fitting.
So there's this phrase, real recognizes real. One of the most stirring things that I'm sure Kobe ever witnessed was Tiger Woods with a broken leg winning the U.S. Open. The greatest competitors go out there. They go out there. We do have some baseball news. The Reds signed Nick Castellanos to a 4-year, $64 million deal with 2 opt-outs. You know him from the Cubs. Is he worth that?
I would hope he's worth it, Tony, but you know year to year these things change dramatically. In football news, the Browns hired Andrew Berry from the Eagles as their new general manager. Your thoughts?
He's a 32-year-old from Harvard. He's going to join a young man as the head coach who's out of Penn. This is the Ivy League model that we have seen done in baseball.
Baseball a lot.
And maybe that in analytics comes to football. And finally, ESPN will re-air Kobe's farewell game tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. What do you remember from it?
That I missed it. I chose incorrectly. I went to the Golden State Warriors and watched them win a historic game and miss Kobe's in person.
Out of time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Williams.